We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 1 o'clock on the East Coast. B, I bet I'll tell you something you didn't know. Ready?
Tell me.
Apparently, DeAndre Hopkins is a big supporter of flag football.
I think I saw that on TV.
Well, he's here, and I was wondering why he was here, and then he was part of a press conference that just happened talking about flag football.
Yeah.
Now, enough about flag. Let's talk about real football. My friend, great reporter for ESPN, covering the Vikings, covering the league, Kevin Seifert sits down with us now. Kev, what's up, dude?
Not much. How you doing, man?
We are doing well. We are doing well. We are coming at it from different angles, I would say. But you and I are both here at league meetings trying to figure out what quarterback is going to land on the team we cover.
Right.
Get us up to – I feel like there's Minnesota offseason and everything that happened with Kirk, and what is the plan now?
Yeah, they started off the offseason genuinely wanting to get Kirk Cousins back, and Kirk actually wanted to come back. Which made me think there was a decent chance for an agreement. But it turned out there was a pretty significant difference between what each side thought that should look like. Kirk wanted to finish his career in Minnesota, and he wanted the Vikings to show him that they wanted him to finish his career in Minnesota. And his love language, as you know, is guaranteed money. And he needed to have a contract that guaranteed him the years that he would presumably continue to play before retiring, and the Vikings weren't willing to go there. They were willing to guarantee this coming up season, but nothing full beyond that. Atlanta was, and Atlanta ended up guaranteeing him 2+ years to be their starter, and so he went there. And the Vikings were prepared for that contingency. I think they knew deep down that when it came to push and shove, that's the type of decision that Kirk has a right to make and was going to make if that came up. And so they shifted gears now, and they're very focused on the top of the draft, where the top quarterbacks presumably will all be taken. They made a preliminary trade to acquire a second first-round pick, so they now have the number 11 pick and the number 23 pick in the draft, and that gives them the possibility, at least, of trading up into the top three or four or five to get one of the top, three to five quarterbacks. Or if not, they have been saying publicly, and I don't think it's their first option or preference, but it's certainly possible that they get the 20. They keep 11 and 23, and 23 is where they draft somebody that of a different level. And so
Penix looks good in purple.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's the regard or not, but that's certainly there. And so that is something to consider as well. But I think right now their focus is certainly on evaluating these top guys and seeing who would fit with them and who Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, could take the most advantage of.
They were involved with a major trade a long time ago with Herschel Walker, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if they come to Washington and offer kind of the same thing, we'll take it.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well for the Vikings. It worked out great for the Cowboys,
yes,
and I think it would work out great for Washington as well. So I don't anticipate them going quite to that level to do that.
What do you think is realistic if they are really trying to move up 4 or 5, like Cardinals, Chargers?
To start, to me, 3. The Patriots are the one team that, whether it's, just speculation or whether it's genuine, that potentially they could be talked out of taking a quarterback at number 3. They need one, but We don't know who they like and who they don't like, and they have a lot of other roster positions that they could begin to fill up with depth if they were able to get what they want to move out of three. So that's where the Vikings probably realistically start, and then you start talking about Arizona at four and the Chargers at five.
Talking with our friend Kevin Seifert here. I guess this isn't the BetQL guest line because you're just sitting at a table with me. I do want you to know that I really when you said that Kirk Cousins' love language is guaranteed money, I thought that was a tremendous line.
Yeah, I've been using that on my interviews, so I didn't give you the scoop on it, but I gave you
it's good. That's good. Yeah. You can follow him at Seifert ESPN, S-E-I-F-E-R-T ESPN. So the Vikes, obviously, who did they sign? Darnold? Who do they have?
Yeah, so Sam Darnold was signed in free agency basically the first day of the negotiating window, one-year deal for $10 million. And so he would be the odds-on favorite to at least be the week one starter. They still have Nick Mullins on the roster and Jaren Hall, who they drafted last year in the fifth round. And I think I'm sure they would like to add somebody from near the top of the draft or somewhere in the top of their draft to that group, and we'll see if they're able to do it or not.
Just real quick, I don't know if you know our producer, Jim Mullins. He is a football scout in his spare time. And Mr. Mullins, how do you feel about Sam Darnold?
He's the worst.
Wow. So it's interesting. Kevin O'Connell has known Sam Darnold since Sam was in high school.
Because he coached Southern California.
He had him in one of those Elite 11. Kevin was a coach there. And so, and he evaluated him as an assistant coach the year Darnold was drafted. And he's broken down all of his games, and there was, there's no doubt there's never been like a really long, sustained amount of time where Sam has played well. But he feels that, like, and he said this today again, that that his best football is out in front of him. And I think that's probably fair to expect. You know, Sam has never had an extended time of good play, but he's also never been in the position that he's going to be in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson and a couple other, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson when he comes back. And O'Connell, being a former quarterback, being the play caller, he's going to be in a pretty good coaching situation too. So it's not unreasonable. The way I've been putting it is that Sam has the best chance he's ever had to be as good as he's ever been. And whether that means that, I think in a best-case scenario, he's a guy that if they draft somebody will play well enough that they won't feel compelled to rush that rookie onto the field until he's ready.
Right.
As opposed to we got to play him because we're getting embarrassed by, who's ever starting. And so there's a value there. And if it turns out to be more than that, great. But I think that's the baseline value they're looking for.
If you get a rookie quarterback, what does that mean for Justin Jefferson? Whose contract's up.
Yeah, and I actually asked Kevin O'Connell about that today, and he's been talking to Justin throughout this whole process and keeping him informed and taking feedback. And they're convinced that, the two things aren't necessarily connected. If they're going to get a deal done, it's because the Vikings have reached the number that Justin is willing to accept. And whether it's, with Sam Darnold and Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall or with J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or somebody else, Panic, I don't think that's going to, from what the Vikings say, at least, and feel at least, they don't feel like that's going to be the deciding factor as to whether Justin wants to stay in Minnesota or not. It's still in a very business portion, which is good for them.
Because, that's where it should be.
Want to just be get to the numbers that everybody can agree on and not, I don't want to play here if I don't like the quarterback you just drafted.
Right. Totally. It's the other complicating factors in the Vikings' quest for a quarterback. Not just the top of the draft where people need quarterbacks. You've got the Giants at six that have another year of Danny Dimes, but that's it as far as contractually guaranteed money. Where do you think J.J. McCarthy lands in all of this? Do you buy the pro day hype? I mean, certainly what Jim Harbaugh was saying, but just in general, people seem to really like McCarthy.
Yeah, and, I sat with Sean Payton today, the Broncos coach, and he was talking about how they've already done a private workout with him. They're at number 12, and so maybe they feel like he's the first guy they legitimately would have a chance at unless they really want to try to trade up. But they've been, they obviously took a lot of time out of their schedule to evaluate him in a private, personal way. And so I think everybody's intrigued by him, and they're trying to figure out, like, is it the real deal or is it just, you know, played at Michigan, they won the national championship, he can throw, you know, it all over the place.
Right.
But there's a lot of other issues there that would prevent him from being a good starter. And I always think that, like, you know, people underrate the context of where the player gets drafted into. Like, if you get – and this is not just to pat the Vikings on the back, but if you get drafted into the Vikings offense with their coaching structure, they just hired Josh McCown as their quarterback's coach, another person that I think any rookie quarterback would benefit from. You've got a pretty good chance to succeed relative to what you see a lot of quarterbacks who are taken to the top of the round by teams that didn't play very well and maybe are headed towards a coaching change, or if they're off, if they go play pretty well, they're going to lose their offensive coordinator to be a head coach. And so,
well, and I would even add about Minnesota, like, stable ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, and that's something.
And, like, new facility. Like, yeah. Everything's nice there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And yes, the ownership, like, there's never – like, you probably – there hasn't been a single story where you've heard, you know, either you know, on the record or off the record, really, that the Vikings owners have ever stepped in and tried to guide or manipulate a football decision. And they've been the owners for almost 20 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, take that, you know, for what it's worth. We know that's not – and it's not just Washington. There's a lot of places where that has happened or continues to happen. And so there's that as well. And so you
– especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and you're getting advice – you know, these guys are getting advice from their agents, from their family, and, like, those people know that. They want their guy to end up in a spot where they have a good chance to succeed and aren't, you know, up against headwinds the whole time.
Totally. it's – so then – the team to me that at least I feel like has shown signals, and in Indy I kind of heard some interesting chatter, the Raiders. Mm. Gardner, right? They got Gardner Minshew, mm-hmm. Who's proven an ability to win some games.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
lost
yeah.
some too, but yeah. you know, yeah. he's his own being.
Yeah, it's hard to put him in another category.
Yeah. but to me, by going out and signing Christian Wilkins, spending that money, and you got Crosby, like, they want to compete now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't sign Wilkins to that deal to try to figure it all out,
yeah.
right? And Antonio Pierce, when you talk to that dude, he wants to win now.
Yeah.
Who do you think could be the most aggressive, including the Vikings, but between Vikings, Raiders, Broncos are trying to move up? And do you have to get in front of the Giants?
I think you might quite possibly do, and maybe the Giants, you know, are doing some double, you know, takes themselves in terms of, are they really looking at quarterbacks, or are they just trying to lure somebody into taking, you know, coming up for their spot? So,
big Daniel
I, Jones. You know, yeah, 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 exactly. yeah, but so, I, you know, in terms of who is likely to be more aggressive, you know, I think you make a great point about the Raiders. They're, you know, they're not necessarily driven by some of the analytics that some of the other teams you mentioned are. Like, I think the Vikings are going to be pretty disciplined. And even though they're in a tough spot and they've kind of backed themselves into this tough spot where, like, they need to get somebody this year, I don't think they're going to go Herschel Walker on it. I don't think they're going to go Ricky Williams on it, if people remember the Ricky
sure.
Williams trade to
Charlie
with
Casserly.
Washington.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To where they gave up their entire draft that year to get him. I don't think that's the way the Vikings are operating.
Have you run the numbers as much as anyone can guess on what it would cost to get up there?
Well, to like the four or so? Or
yeah.
Yeah, like the Vikings could conceivably, you know, they have the 11 and the 23rd and maybe, you know, another second rounder or something like that, could conceivably do that. They also have they still have their next year first round pick if they need to throw that in or use that in some way. The one thing I don't think that they're anywhere close to even considering, and, you know, people have talked about this publicly a lot, but, like, I don't think they're into using Justin Jefferson to trade up to get a quarterback. Like, that would – it wouldn't defeat the purpose, but it would minimize its impact.
Give up Jefferson.
Yeah, as part of the package to move up.
Wow.
And so, like, again, I only bring that up because I think there's been a lot of, like, just people, you know, having fun, you know,
yeah.
coming up with ideas, how can they do it? And all I can say is I sense no interest in doing anything other than locking him up. I mean, he's under contract this year anyway, and they could franchise him for another couple years. So if they don't have him, on a long-term deal, I don't see that being part of the math and the numbers that the Vikings would attempt to use to move up.
Yeah, I mean, if you're – why would you – that's robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Like, yeah. you're dealing away
well,
your best
– I mean, you can say, like, quarterback's more important, and no one would argue with that.
Right.
But, like, you got – like, I look at it, I guess, like, this guy isn't just a great receiver. Like, he literally has had the best four-year start to his career of any receiver in the history of football. Like, he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory, not just, like, a great player, not just, like, a potential MVP.
Well –
you know, one of the best ever, like, and he's only 25. Like, what would be the team building benefit from that?
What? I mean, I know you were there when Diggs was there.
Yeah.
I don't think you were old enough. I don't think you were there for Randy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm that old. Yeah.
I just didn't know if you would have been there.
No, I was. I was covering them. You know, and those were two different. Those guys had already signed, like, their second deals in both cases. And in the Randy Moss case, it just, there was there was some behind-the-scenes stuff going on, but they also were a team that was being sold, and the owner, I don't think, wanted to continue to pay his high salary. Stephon Diggs, you know, ended up in a situation where he signed a deal when the Vikings had an offensive coordinator who was, you know, John DeFilippo, relatively pass-happy type guy, perfect if you're a receiver and wants to put up big numbers. They fired DeFilippo, and they went with, like, Kevin Stefanski, Gary Kubiak type of style. And that was a lot more running. And so I think that was a big reason why Diggs wanted to leave, and understandably. And so and then Percy Harvin is a third receiver.
Yeah.
He was traded before they signed him to a second deal, and the Seahawks ended up doing it. And I think the Vikings felt pretty good about trading. So people in Minnesota, at least, have, you know, have this on their mind because it's happened so many times with so many of the really good receivers they've had. But I'm just saying, I just don't see it now.
I'm not even going to ask a Randy comp, but who's better in what you've seen, Jefferson or Diggs? The numbers would tell you Jefferson.
Yeah,
right?
it's not a knock on Diggs, but Jefferson. I mean, he has a way of getting open. Like, he's not that fast. Like, if you go back and look in terms of, like, 40 and, you know, the way we measure it or whatever, and maybe Diggs wasn't either, but. If you look at the way he turns people around and gets them on skates and just has these instincts about how to use his body to get them, you know, to get separation and to get himself open, and the football intelligence of knowing, like, where to go on the field and the connection he had with Kirk Cousins almost immediately, like, it's really hard to pick against him.
Yeah, I mean, so give me a prediction. Now it's, what is it, March 25th.
Yeah.
Drafts. Exactly a month out, I think.
Okay.
First round.
Yeah.
Who's Minnesota getting in the first round? And what? Where?
I'm gonna say that they end up at three and take Drake May.
Wow.
I mean, we're just talking. We're, you know,
yeah.
And so, like, don't hold me to it. Hopefully, no one goes to Vegas on that.
No,
advice,
but you're.
But if they go and win, you tell them to send you your share.
Yeah, I'll do that, man.
But yeah, you're informed. Like, you think a real big move could be on the horizon.
Yeah, I think they want to do that. You know, it takes two to tango, and that's the big thing. Is, like, are any of those three teams at the top? You know, Washington being two, obviously, but, like, are any of those three teams even remotely interested? Or are they locked in? They all, from a team building standpoint, think they need a quarterback now, and we'll see that. But I just, you know. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Do they like Drake? Have you gotten any info on that?
I don't think they've got – I honestly don't think that they have finalized their evaluations. I think he's definitely in the mix there, and they'll start getting to some of the nitty-gritty and the private workouts later.
What's going to be really interesting is where McCarthy lands in all this. Dude, thank you for making time for us.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it.
Kevin Seifert, you can follow him on – Twitter at Seifert ESPN. Great work.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rolling Stones are going to play Jazz Fest, B.
Uh-oh.
Dude, Stones, the Killers, Widespread. Might need to make a trip.
When is it?
Draft weekend.
You're not making that?
Ain't no chance we're making that. But whatever. So I'm trying to figure this out. I just saw this. NBC Sports just tweeted this out. What year did the Giants win the Super Bowl, the Pistons won the finals, the Reds won the World Series, and the Edmonton Oilers won the Stanley Cup? The Pistons went back-to-back right before the Bulls, right? And I think would it be 90?
Yeah, early 90s. I would guess 1990 or 1991.
No, because 91 was
Skins. It
would be
the 90 season.
90.
All right, I just didn't know. I knew Edmonton was really good when they had, like, didn't they have, like, Gretzky and Messier and stuff? I just didn't know when that was.
But why did they put those teams together?
Because they all won the 1990 season. Mm. And the game is Guess the Year.
Oh, Guess the Year, okay.
I think it's 90. I guess I can see it. Reds World Series. That'll tip us off. Here's what I wanted to do, though, Brian. Yep, it was 90. I remember that Reds team. B-Mitch, you have said this before, that a lot of Commanders fans, Redskins fans, Washington fans, whatever, their fondest memory, their favorite season, I mean, in the last 20, 25 years, is the Robert Griffin III season, 2012. And Robert is getting deep into the content game, mm-hmm. and he posted a video this morning, and he likes to tag me in these videos, so then I get every reply, which is just terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Robert talking – what's that? Oh, Landfill's computer's froze. All right, well, we're going to play you this Robert thing in just a minute, where Robert's kind of explaining the worst mistake he made.
I saw some of it.
Yeah, well, wait, whenever the fine – technology that we have at Odyssey gets ready. We'll play that for you. But we got a little bit of breaking news here, B. And I'm not hyping this one up. But we do have Robert now? Okay. So it's not a crazy tease. Vanderbilt is hiring JMU coach Mark Byington. So after the big run and winning that first round game, he's out of Harrisonburg. All right. Robert Griffin III addressing himself.
What is the biggest regret in your career? Ooh, y'all hitting the heavy-hitting questions. I would say the biggest regret of my career is probably playing in 2013. I tore my ACL in the playoffs after the 2012 season against the Seattle Seahawks. Coming back and playing that season, pretty much 7-8 months removed from tearing not only my ACL, but also my LCL and my meniscus in my knee, is something that I don't think I should have done. I don't even want to say that. I know I shouldn't have played that year. But when you're a player and you're in fight or flight mode, you're always going to choose to fight. Despite going back and looking at the film and understanding that I was nowhere near 100%, sometimes we want something so bad that we're willing to hurt ourselves for it. When you're 23 years old and you have no professional experience, it's very hard to make those decisions when all you want to do is play the game.
There's no reference to all in for week one, which was his decision.
Yep.
And it was a marketing thing too with Adidas at the time, if you remember. I just like I don't know. There's a lack of self-awareness in all of these. I don't know.
Listen, man. Let's be real. A lot of things that happened with him, there were some things that they could have handled him a different way, but a lot of stuff happened because he was more concerned about what he was doing instead of, like you say, he did this for his teammate. He did it for his teammates. He would have made sure he was 100% before he got on the field. You know?
Right.
Listen, bro. I thought Robert had an unbelievable year. I was looking forward to him trying to change the way this world works. But if you are young and you don't know, you listen. And listen to people who have been through what you're trying to go through instead of those who don't have a clue. And he seemed to listen to those who didn't have a clue and those who amened everything he said instead of making him think about it a little bit.
I find it really hard to go back in
time. Selective memory is what it's called.
Yo, that's great. That's exactly it. I mean, you're going back in time 11 years and ignoring the gigantic marketing pitch that was built around your return. Like
that came from you
right.
and your team, not anybody around you.
I mean, you could argue that he shouldn't have been playing in the Seattle game. And, I mean, even his – I wonder –
How about this? Just look at the video of the moment – what's it called? The moment of impact? Or what was the moment called when he told Trent to don't say nothing when he knew he was hurt?
Right.
That's not what you're doing for your team. And there are a lot of other things that I know personally that was said that he ran back because he was worried, terrified of Kirk getting on the field.
Of Kirk,
and
right.
I think that is the reason why you played. You didn't play because of your teammates. You played because – you knew someone was doing things that was being asked of them, and you were trying to change the whole thing just to benefit what you wanted, point blank.
And, I mean, go one step further. In that offseason, he demanded the offense change and all these other things that, you know, that's not for your teammates, dude. Like, the offense that was highly effective, that won Rookie of the Year and, you know, what they win, 7 in a row?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to change that for your teammates, dude. That is, whether if you think it's for your health is one thing, if you think you have to establish yourself as a different kind of passer, I would say is another. I don't know. I get at this point, he's not lying, saying that his biggest regret is, you know, going all in for week one and pushing it to get back, and that kind of just set him down this path.
I would say the biggest regret should be going back in the year before when you went out
there.
Yeah, when you went out and you hurt yourself even more. That might be the biggest regret.
Sure. I did want to check with Landfill on his reaction to Robert's latest video.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I kind of think with RG3, he obviously had that great season. Then it was a total disaster here. And it seems like, you know, 12 years later, he's trying to launch a media career. But the only kind of interesting thing he has to say is constantly bringing up all of the drama from the 2013-2014 seasons over and over and over and over again. And I was tired of it about 5 years ago, and I'm about ready to lose my mind every time I hear something like this.
When I... in the break, I said, hey, Landfill, let's run this RG3 thing here. And he said, okay, but you have to send me a bullet that I can put in my head before I have to listen to another RG3 thing.
Did you send a bullet?
I'm all out of bullets. I tend to agree with you, Landini. I just think – I wouldn't even say he's trying to develop a promising media career. He has one.
He has it. But, you know,
like,
but
dude, you're on Monday Night Football.
I am not going to put all of it on him. That four-letter network he works for, that's what they push. Be as outlandish as you can. You know, disrespect all the people that you're supposed to be proud of support. You know, that's what Stephen A. has done, and it got him big time. And, hell, when people see a path and they see Stephen A. can pay like $10 million a year, right? You think the other people are not going to follow that same suit? You know,
right.
When you work for certain people, they want you to do things a certain way. And that's what he's following. So I can't just blame him. And that is what media has become. Media has not become content, real content, media has become, what the hell can you say to make everybody want to click on it?
You know, and this is going to be crazy. I think where Robert makes mistakes in this is he makes it about himself. Like this thing, my work, you know, his biggest regret. Even when he did the Caleb Williams shouldn't go to Chicago thing, he kind of like made it about himself. Stephen A., for all of his bombasticness, usually doesn't inject himself into every conversation.
Well, he can't because he didn't play anything like the level that Robert at least played at.
For sure. I think maybe that could be the advice is just, you, see, Robert, like, we care about your opinions.
I think ultimately what comes down to it,
have to be involved in everything.
When you've done it, when you played at a level, you will always try to give an example of what you did, because I think a lot of people, I think Robert can pick up a little bit from this. When you talk about what you've done, you talk about not just the good, you talk about the negative, and that'll give people a different mindset. But it's kind of like Stephen A. knock a lot of people, but he never say, well, like when I did it, because he can't say that at all.
Right.
But he'll knock people for what they've done when he never had a chance in hell to do it. And that benefits him for the people that pays his check. D-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. D-Mitch and Finley is brought to you by Rude HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rude.com to find a contractor near you and available tax credits and rebates. That's R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right. Well, JP is down at the annual league meetings in Orlando, Florida, where he got a chance to sit down and talk to some of the AFC coaches today. Tomorrow, get a chance to talk to the NFC coaches. Biggest thing coming out of the meeting so far has been the swivel hip drop tackle. And I think they say if a guy swivels with it, it's supposed to be called. But I am worried about everyone beginning to call every time they see someone tackle like that. Or every time somebody lands on a guy's leg that they're going to call this. And it's a possibility of a 15-yard penalty. Also a possibility of some fines. And I really believe that what is going to happen, what's going on to where every year we have a new rule. And it's always against the defense. They don't put a lot of things against the offense. And I think it's about time to where we level the playing field again and let the coaches that are the absolute best and the best motivators be able to help their teams win. And not just sit up here and begin to try to make offenses better because that's what you want. If they're not good enough, they're not damn good enough. You know, I played offense all my life. But it troubles me when one side gets a distinct advantage over the other side. You know, we can't, you know, go out there and make rules to make everything one-sided. Let's just, if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And I understand people get hurt, but isn't football a game where if you have any type of sense, you understand that somebody's going to get hurt in this game? It's you're doing what you're not, your body is not trained to do or not supposed to be doing. So why wouldn't you think there's going to be some level of injury? That's why I say guys have to be more cognizant to go out and put themselves in better positions, take care of themselves, make sure that their bodies can go through some of the rigors that you go through in football. This is not a sport you can play and just go through the regular old regular. You got to be a barbarian in a sense. You got to torture yourself in a sense to where when you get into a game, it's nothing new. But a lot of guys now play this game thinking, oh, I'm protected by the rules. No, your ass better be protected by what you put yourself through in the offseason. And if you don't do that, that's on you. We'll be talking some more tomorrow. I'll be here again, right here in the Navy Yard. JP will be coming to us live from Orlando. Hopefully some gift is given to us tomorrow, Landfill. I'm going to ask for a gift, okay? Sometimes we get those things, sometimes we don't. I'll call it a great gift, a surprise. Hopefully that happens, and we'll be talking to you all tomorrow. But right now, Landfill, we got to make some bets. Jeff's not here. JP didn't give us a bet. You and I won, point blank. All right, so we got to throw these bets in. And since they're not here to give us anything, nobody was smart enough to say, hey, put this in for me. That means they get a big donut.
Yeah, I agree with that. They should both be assigned losses.
Hell yeah.
All right. I'm taking a risk here. I'm gonna take the Wizards.
Oh my lord.
Plus 12.5. I don't think they're gonna win.
Okay.
They're not gonna get a third win, but they're 12.5 point underdogs against the Bulls. And you know,
I mean, 12 and a half is just a lot of points.
And I'm in Chicago, huh?
They have won two in a row.
All right.
I'm taking Wizards plus 12 and a half.
All right. I'm going to look at this. I got to pick this thing, man. I don't know the NFL. Getting scared. No, I'm not going to get scared.
Don't be scared, B.
I'm never scared. All right. Look like I'm getting scared, Lanfield. All right, I'm going Wizards and Bulls. Give me the over, 226 and a half. And then I'm going to look at the Denver Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going to take the over in that game, too. It's 213 and a half.
Over Mitchell.
Over, yes. I figure in basketball, they don't play a lot of defense. Memphis is not very, very good. They may not score a lot, but I think Denver probably could score a ton.
They've basically made it illegal to play defense in the NBA, too.
That's what they do, man. I think everybody is against defense. I don't understand it.
I think offense is entertaining, too, but, you know, at least in the NFL, they're running the risk of becoming the Pro Bowl.
The way rules are stated, offenses are supposed to be good.
Right.
But if a defense goes and shuts somebody out, I know people say that's boring. That's not boring to me. That is exceptional to me. With all the rules working against you, when you can shut somebody down, that is the most exciting thing in football to me.
Well, you know how Roger Goodell feels about it. If the defense performs exceptionally, got to make a new rule.
That's just stupid to me. But, hey, thank you all for joining us. I want to thank Kevin Seifert, who joins us later on the show. We had Chris Nockey a little bit earlier to talk NCAAs. Big Mitch Tischler to join us as well. But you know what? The stars of the show today were all the people that called in. Appreciate you all listening to us, and all, when we get you a chance to call in, I wish JP would let more people talk, but he doesn't. He likes to talk as much as I do.
I thought the stars were the two people that actually showed up to work today.
But we always stars. But, yeah. You know, we got to give credit to the other people, you know. We got to do sometimes.
They're the guest stars.
Certain people don't do. We give credit. Other people just want some credit.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Take care of yourself. We'll see you all tomorrow right here, 10 to 2. Peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.